So, welcome to the next edition of the Rare Business Podcast. With me today, I have Paige O'Neill, who is the Chief Marketing Officer from SDL. Hi, Paige.
Hello, Adrian. How are you today?
I am splendid, thank you. I'm very well. So, Paige, for the benefit of our listeners and kind of readers, can you tell us a bit more about the work about you and also about the work that you do?
Yeah, absolutely. I am the head of marketing for SDL, and we are a software company who help our customers deliver better customer experiences. So help them connect and just deliver better time finding products and services, better opportunity to connect with customers and just make those engagements.
Fantastic. Now, this is the first time we've done you and I have done an interview, but I, in the past, have spoken to Mark Lancaster, your CEO, which is really interesting, and some of the stuff you're doing is kind of really fascinating. But the reason behind this kind of this interview was that you recently released some new global research that looked into customer experience failures from the past decade, and I thought, wow, it's a bit of a historical retrospective, if that's not an oxymoron. So what I wanted to do is to ask you, can you tell me a little bit more about the research and kind of why you conducted it, and you know, just to give us a bit of a flavor of kind of, you know, the research that you did?
Absolutely, and we're really excited about this interesting research because it is so broad-based. We looked at 3,000 customers across really all the continents, across 9 different countries, I believe it was. And we asked them a series of questions about the customer relationship and where it goes wrong in particular. And so we wanted to take a look at how does the customer experience go wrong? And once it has gone wrong, can you ever get those customers back? And so we looked at the causes for the failures. And then we looked at what causes a customer, if anything, to come back to the brand if they've had a bad experience.
Okay. What were the big kind of highlights from the research in terms of your findings?
Well, there were many different highlights across these different areas. And so one of the first things that we learned was that 2 out of 3 customers that we talked to, so 2 out of 3 of these 3,000 customers, they recalled a major customer experience failure over the last 10 years, but less than half remembered a success. And so that was pretty interesting right off the bat, because obviously we learned that it much more readily comes to mind when there's a failure than when there's a success. And so that was an interesting learning. We also learned about what happens when they've had that customer experience failure and saw some interesting things there. We learned that about 64% will stop recommending the brand or worse, 30% will start looking at competitors, and 12% will go negative, and that could be either spreading negative things about the brand on social media or within their peer network. So some very troubling actions taken by customers when they do have those negative experiences.
Okay. And and those negative experiences, were you able to identify where they kind of took place in large part, or was it just across the life cycle?
Well, what we found, we were able to identify where they take place. And what we found was that it really does happen across the entire customer life cycle.
Okay.
1 in 4 of these failures were happening in what we defined as the research phase. So this is before a customer even buys a product from a brand. They might be doing research, they might be trying to purchase, and something at that point goes wrong before they even make the purchase. So that's 25%. We also found that 20% were lost while attempting to purchase. And this is both online and in store. So we really looked at both experiences. So it's not just the online world. So you could assume that some of those failures happened because there was poor customer service in the store, which caused the customer to walk away as they were making the purchase.
Sure.
Or you could also assume that sometimes there were failures with online purchases for technical reasons, many different reasons why that 20% loss at the cash register. But the thing that was really eye-opening was we found that 79% of the failures were happening once they actually got the product.
Okay.
So they got the product home, and they went to use it. And at that point, there were failures happening. So that was very surprising to think that so many failures were happening when they actually went to use the product. So that was obviously a big area that companies need to focus on. And often it seems that there's a lot of focus on the point of purchase and maybe less so after that purchase has happened. So no stage is really immune, from what our research told us, to having failures.
Okay, and so interestingly about the kind of the product issues. I mean, did you get any insight in terms of why that happened? Is it because it didn't live up to expectations, or people didn't have the right sort of instructions, or it didn't work? It was hard to use, or is it just that people were just frustrated with it?
Yeah, I mean, it was all of the above. Okay. There was a fair amount of reports of just didn't live up to the hype once they tried to use the product for the first time. Mm-hmm. And there was also a fair amount of, I had a question about the product and I couldn't figure out how to get the question answered. I either called into the support line and wasn't able to get my question answered, or I couldn't find what I was looking for online to get my question answered. We also then went on to learn that a lot of these failures came down to a human or a process that had gone wrong, a human interaction or a process failure. 61% of the customers that experienced a failure felt that there was a customer service employee who was either not appropriately trained or just wasn't empowered to help,
right,
which is, you know, kind of that, you look at that intersection of people who are on the front lines there. As much as we've automated all of our experiences, there are still people that are interacting at many stages here, and often they don't have the training or the technology they need to deliver this excellent customer service. We also found that 15% who experienced a failure, they just never heard back from the company. They put out a question or they put out an inquiry, and the company never contacted them back, which I just thought was staggering because that's such low-hanging fruit, to the fact that they never heard back.
And so there's a couple things that once you were, some of the stuff you're talking about there, there's a couple things that sort of occur to me, is that there's an idea around called a service recovery paradox. And this idea is that when something kind of goes wrong and a company responds to the error or the mistake or the inquiry and does it well, what they can do is they can end up generating more loyalty than they would have otherwise created. I just, if everything went really, really smooth. I mean, have you seen sort of any evidence of that?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, jumping ahead a little bit to what we found would bring a customer back after they'd had this experience, there was really a combination of things here that brought customers back to the brand after they had this bad experience. And the first was they wanted an apology.
Right.
And they also wanted it accompanied with an admission of failure. So it wasn't good enough to just say, oh, I'm sorry, but to not accept blame. They also wanted the brand to accept blame.
Right.
So this combination of the apology and the admission of failure or the acceptance of blame, and then that combined with some type of remuneration or money back or restitution on the transaction that had gone awry. And this is a really important distinction because, you know, certainly in marketing, one of the hallmarks of marketing is to offer a coupon on a future purchase or a discount on a future purchase.
Mm-hmm.
And that didn't go over well in the research because customers felt that brands were assuming there was going to be a future purchase or a future relationship.
Exactly.
When there had been a failure, and it was inappropriate to make that assumption that there would be business transacted in the future.
Absolutely. I mean, it's fascinating because it's a real personal, it's almost an insight and carryover from a personal relationship. Is a bit like when you do, if you with a friend or something, and somebody does something which is wrong or not appropriate, for them to assume that they're going to continue to be your friend is and that you're going to have an ongoing relationship it's just not on.
It's presumptive.
Yeah.
Yeah. Back to the service question, our research told us that service was at the heart of 81% of these failures. So whether that was a customer service person on the front lines or just, you know, not being responsive to the question, 81%.
Wow. Wow. So let's sort of wind back a little bit and kind of the big highlight and this thing that really interests me is this idea that was it 2/3 of customers recalled a major customer experience failure, but less than half remembered a success. Is that right?
That's right. Yeah. So 2/3 remembered this major failure over the last 10 years, but less than half remembered a major success.
So why? I mean, what I'm really interested in is that, you know, we can go about trying to fix those sort of like things from an organizational sort of like perspective to try and minimize that. But do you have any insight into why people remember the failures more than the successes?
Well, our research didn't delve into the why, but I think, you know, it's human nature to remember the bad, unfortunately. I think we're very quick to jump in and criticize and less quick to praise. And one of the things that we also found was that there were differences, you know, even between the countries as to how they reacted to these failures, which I think, you know, some of them underscored, you know, stereotypes, if you will, about the nationalities. Others were surprises. So it even, you know, the data kind of backed into at the country level, looking at just this tendency, I think, that we unfortunately have as human beings to want to talk more about the bad stuff.
Right. I mean, I asked that question because I just wanted to understand if you'd explored that a little bit more. I've explored this kind of issue a little bit more, and actually there's some interesting kind of neuroscientific research that supports this, and it talks about there are emotions that we remember and we recall kind of like greater than others, and a lot of it's to do with, you know, failures and risk and uncertainty and disappointment and things, and the reason why it's all linked to our survival instinct, because we see failures as a risk to our existence.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, I think it makes sense, and it's. I also think it just, you know, it maps back to human nature. It's sometimes more interesting to talk about the bad experiences. We've all either shared our own story or listened and laughed over stories of customer experience horrors or, you know, things gone awry.
Yeah.
And it makes for a good story, a much better story often than the good things.
Yeah, well, exactly. I mean, it probably tells us kind of why kind of what makes the most popular film or a most popular book, I guess.
Exactly.
So tell me this. I mean, you say you dug into the different country level sort of data, and I mean, I'm based in the UK. I know that you're in London kind of right now, but SDL is a global kind of company. But that one of the things in the research mentioned that people are becoming less shy or more happy, if you like, to complain about sort of failures. I mean, and so that what I wanted to ask was, did that hold on a UK level, and that the UK are not shy about sharing kind of customer experience failures?
Well, it certainly did, and you know, this was one of the big surprises to me when I looked at how some of this data broke down at a country level. We specifically asked a question around, remember I mentioned earlier about what customers do when they have these negative experiences?
Yeah.
And I mentioned that 12% start to actively disparage the brand by either word of mouth or social media.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it turns out that, you know, if you took a guess as to who you thought was the top country that was the least shy about going very public with their discontent, who do you think that country would be?
Yeah, this is probably the UK, and we're becoming kind of the most a nation of complaints.
So you're not surprised. So it sounds like you're not surprised to hear that. I was actually surprised. So the UK came in as the top country most vocal about sharing failures with customer experience in a public setting, either on social media or with their peers. 24% of the UK customers who experienced these failures took to the public airwaves to discuss their grievances, versus 12% in the U.S. And so, to me, that's a stereotype that's a little bit, I think, taken aback, because I think certainly I spend a lot of time in Europe and, as you mentioned, I'm in the U.K. right now, but I would have expected the U.S. to come in higher than the U.K., but yet the Brits that I talk to are not surprised by this finding at all.
I think it's surprising, but I would suggest it's probably kind of more nuanced than that. I mean, because I think that publicly, I don't think we're necessarily a nation of complainers, but privately, complaining in the UK is a national pastime. And yet, I think kind of doing things kind of publicly in terms of particularly a la sort of social media, it sort of doesn't necessarily cross into the sort of the public sort of domain. So it's not really face to face. In many respects, so we can do that, and it feels slightly disembodied, but I'll just complain to everybody rather than actually kind of being able to. There's an expression we say we would be black affronted if we had to kind of do it face to face with somebody. And I think it's possibly kind of more nuanced. If you put somebody in front of somebody and said, go and complain to that firm, there's the person there, I think you'd probably get a slightly different response.
Yep, absolutely. And our research data certainly proved that out.
Excellent. Excellent. A bit of demographic research goes on as well. Absolutely. So, Paige, what can firms kind of do about some of these kind of research kind of findings? I mean, what would be your sort of big sort of tips about kind of how firms should be responding to some of these, you know, these insights?
Well, and so one of the things that we then went on to ask after we looked at the failures, we asked questions around, so you've experienced a failure, you've either taken to the social media airwaves or you've stopped doing business with the brand, and then we wanted to look at, is there any hope for the brand relationship from that point? And so we asked a series of questions around finding out whether customers would even think about getting back together, so to speak, with a brand that had given them a negative experience. And the overwhelming answer was yes. I think it was 82% of customers said, yes, I would love to resolve this. I'd like to try to continue to do business with the brand. And so that was really great news for brands, thinking about, is it even possible to repair the relationship? But once they've had this negative experience, 4 out of 5 will never come back to the brand based on our research. So despite their good intentions, because of how the experience ended up playing out, 4 in 5 then said they would never come back. So you're really looking at 1 in 5 who would consider coming back. And if the 1 in 5 that do come back, even if they do, 62% are going to be less loyal to the brand. So there's damage there that's causing the brand to lose a significant number of customers that won't come back. And even the ones that do are less loyal. And less loyal translates to a lot of percent of revenue from a failed customer over the following 1 year period. So it's a significant impact to revenue. So obviously the stakes are very high. But in terms of getting them to come back, I've mentioned that they really want to see this combination of the apology, the admission of failure, and some discount or money back to rectify the bad experience for the product they were purchasing. And we also found that when we looked at brands that were providing positive experiences, we did spend a little bit of time looking at that as well. It wasn't all bad. Similar to saying that customer service was on the front lines for the bad experience, as you would expect, it was also on the front lines for the positive experience. 3 out of 4 of the top reasons cited for a positive customer experience boiled down to customer service.
Right.
So it really, when you think about the takeaways for really driving these positive experiences, the human element is so important, but combining that human element with the technology on the back end so that they can understand how to provide these positive experiences. They understand the customer, they understand their purchase history, they understand what's driving them. The kind of the combination of the human and the technology is so important, is what we found in our research.
Fantastic. Really simple but very powerful sort of insights and findings from the research. Is like, and I guess the big headline is, don't forget the human element. Don't get lost in the
Absolutely. And it's human element powered by technology was really what we found to be the sweet spot.
Absolutely, that's brilliant, Paige. That's brilliant. I mean, I'm just conscious of time, kind of right now, but I want to ask you one more kind of question that I always ask kind of people when I have these interviews, and it's this is the famous last question, and the question is this: is there anything that you would like to shamelessly plug?
Shamelessly plug. Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, obviously we're interested in this customer experience research because, you know, shockingly, we sell customer experience solutions. So, you know, I could shamelessly plug the fact that if you're listening to this research and you're thinking about how it could potentially impact your own business, SDL can help you assess that and can help you improve your customer experience.
That's fantastic. Shameless plug, par excellence. Paige, thank you so much for your time today and for sharing the research and your insights and sort of the, you know, your own thoughts on kind of what it means and what firms can do about this. I mean, yeah, and thank you very much for your time today. That's been brilliant.
Absolutely, Adrian. Thank you so much for having me.